Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hey, Jeff, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are. Let's get right into it, man. I want to talk about inside linebacker Will Compton. Bunch of starts, bunch of experience, a guy that definitely not afraid to throw himself into the middle of the action.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's also not afraid to kind of, I won't say call out teammates, but just make sure that guys are accountable and on the same page. If you Google his name and look at some of his past from his days with the Redskins, I mean, he's a guy that kind of paints his face a little bit. He's a nasty player, but he's also pretty vocal. So, following Avery Williamson heading to the Jets, that's kind of a position of need. He's in the mix, but I think you may see other guys join the mix as well, as this offseason continues.
Could you see another addition in the inside at linebacker, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I could. I mean, I think the way John Robinson's approached this offseason, I mean, you look at some of the spots that have been filled. I mean, they've drafted a couple of they've signed a couple of interior offensive linemen, added a linebacker, now added an interior defensive lineman in Benny Logan. You got your backup quarterback, you got a corner, you got a quarterback. So you head into the draft without a real glaring need. I mean, I think there's still need as a third safety. I think you look at some other spots and you could see needs there still, but yeah. I think inside linebacker's one, and I think it's a draft where anything could go.
Jimmy, you mentioned Benny Logan, a pure run stopper here, and you added some stats to prove that, and it seems like he is a Vrabel system kind of guy.
Yeah, he has been very disruptive. I mean, and the stat you mentioned, Don, I mean, I think he's ninth in the league over the last over the last 5 years in run stuff. That's kind of what he's known for. I remember when the Titans played, game plan for them leading up to the playoff game. I mean, he's a guy that you've got to be able to contain, and he's an upgrade over Sylvester Williams in my mind. I know Sylvester's a guy that was brought here last year just, from a health standpoint, just wasn't able to give him maybe what he probably wanted to, and just wasn't as disruptive as they would have liked. So now you got a situation. We got Logan, you got Austin Johnson, Antoine Woods, who's kind of been a battler since he's been here. You've got three guys who can compete in the middle, and I think Benny Logan's going to really be good. He's a good player too. I mean, he's a good teammate. I mean, he wore the 18 at LSU, which kind of honors guys who are good teammates and good players certainly as well, and he comes here with some nice credentials.
It's interesting, Jim, because people get really fired up, the first couple of days of free agency, but these most recent couple acquisitions that we're just talking about, Compton and Logan, both of those guys can really be a big part of what the Titans do this offseason, and they're more under the radar, later acquisitions, but it doesn't matter when a guy is acquired during free agency. If he's the right guy in the right situation, put in the right place, you could see big dividends from him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, both those guys potentially could start. I mean, again, we still got the draft to go. I mean, I'd expect Logan and Austin Johnson to both be in a rotation to play a lot, but Logan's a starting caliber guy. Last year, he signed a one-year, $8 million deal, with the Chiefs, and this year, the deal he got wasn't necessarily chump change here, and it shows that he had a market. And the same goes with Compton. I mean, other teams interested in him. He's a guy who has started throughout his career. He dealt with injuries last season, but both those guys are going to be factors. Again, I think the draft could produce more competition at inside linebacker, but. I think both of them, good gifts. And I don't want to say necessarily that things are finished in the off season, because a lot of times after the draft ends, if you're not able to fill more needs, then you start adding more to those positions as well.
Jimmy, this team looks completely different than it did before free agency started. When we first started kind of looking at some of the draftable guys, well, this is a different team. Obviously, J-Rob has filled some holes. So now I think we're looking almost in, I mean, still obviously a pass rusher, but looking in a different direction when it comes to the draft because he has filled some holes. Now when we're, what, two weeks out from the draft, where are you looking that you think they probably go? And is there a possibility, we were talking about this yesterday, do you think there's a chance that we see some movement maybe on draft day by the Titans?
Well, I mean, I could, you never rule anything out with John. I will say that when you're dealing with just six picks, I mean, it's a little bit tougher to be able to move. I do think that, looking at it, I mean, edge rusher is something. You start looking now at what areas have not been addressed, and edge rusher, pass rusher is one of them. Again, I think there's some good linebackers in this draft that could still be in play. They still haven't addressed the receiver position. You got four solid ones on the roster, but that's another spot at some point in the draft. But I do think it's potentially, I won't say necessarily the best player available, because some spots on the teams are more solid than others from a depth standpoint, but you could go in a lot of different directions.
Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com, is with us every Tuesday from 3:30 until 4, talking about the Tennessee Titans. You can get him on Twitter, at Jay Wyatt Sports. Jim, what are you guys currently working on for the website?
Well, I posted a couple of stories today. One of them is Mike Vrabel talking about the addition of Will Compton and Ben Logan, a couple of guys we just talked about, maybe how they fit in. He talked a little bit about where things stand as far as a depth chart goes, which means, and what he said is they haven't even talked about a depth chart yet. What they're trying to do is create as much competition as they can across the roster. But he kind of gives a little bit of a snapshot on both those guys. Also got Todd McShay's 3-round mock draft for the Titans posted today, which addresses some of the positions we talked about, an offensive lineman, a pass rusher, and a receiver. So check that out, and then we'll certainly have stuff throughout the week at Titans Online.
Jim, I know you do the constant upgrades to the Titans mock drafts, and you had a full page of them. It was interesting. There's a whole lot of people who are saying Landry is the guy, as the Titans, a need would be edge rusher with your top two guys in the final years of their contract. I think in your last round of mock drafts, he got 7 of the votes, which was a whole lot more than anybody else. Number 2, I think, was Leighton Vander Esch with 3.
Yeah, and Landry's kind of gone back and forth with him, as far as being a fit for the Titans. It does seem like momentum is taking people there now. And I think this is the time of, we're just over 2 weeks away from the draft. I think this is when people will start to make their final adjustments. And I think they are looking at it based on, need and best players available, and I think they do see what we've talked about, is that the Titans haven't addressed that in free agency. We'll see. I mean, I've seen a lot of Landry. I've seen some Hubbard, but what's interesting is that McShay has Hubbard going to the Titans. Yep. He has him going at number 57 with a second pick. Other people have him going to the Titans at 25. So, a lot of uncertainty there based on where guys are. Some of these analysts based on, a lot of uncertainty of where guys' value might be.
I still wouldn't be surprised to see another veteran receiver show up in some way, shape, form, or fashion to provide a little bit more leadership and to just to provide some more competition in that room, besides maybe drafting a guy wherever they might, or signing obviously some undrafted free agents after the draft. But what do you think about that idea? Do you think maybe another more experienced guy might be put in the mix?
It wouldn't shock me. And I think just the fact that they did entertain Jordan Matthews on a visit recently tells you that they're at least intrigued by that possibility. I mean, I think, Jordan ended up signing with the Patriots. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, because, you know, while there's a lot of good young talent, it is somewhat unproven. I mean, I have high hopes and high expectations for guys like Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor and Tajay sure. Sharp. But reality is they have not played, two of them haven't played a full season, and Tajay Sharp's coming off an injury. So I definitely think from a numbers standpoint, that number is going to grow by the time training camp starts. Some of it will come with undrafted free agents, but I think some could come in the draft. And I'm with you, Mickey. It wouldn't shock me if another veteran's added to the mix as well.
There seems to be, certainly when the time we've gotten to spend with Coach Vrabel, there's certainly a different kind of a feel in his press conferences, the way he handles his business and, answers questions and his philosophy on things. What's the overall difference? Maybe just how it feels in the building with Vrabel as the head coach versus how it felt with Coach Mularkey?
Well, I mean, I think some of that remains to be seen because we'll see how he handles, practices and availability, not only during the off season, but during camp and how he handles other things as it involves players and media. He's got an edge to him. There's no question about that. I mean, I think that comes from his days as a player. I talked to, somebody yesterday that said, hey, the Vrabel that we saw at the press conference Monday kind of resembles the player that was in New England. And I think you'll see more of that as games start. There were times in Mike Mularkey, again, I thought he did in his two seasons, he helped change the culture of the team. But there were times after press conferences where some people I know scratched their heads and didn't really understand his message sometimes. I think with Vrabel, he's going to be to the point. He's not going to be afraid to call guys out, not only in the media, but I think players as well. And I just think there'll be, I do think it'll be different, but a lot of it kind of remains to be seen.
It's funny, we all wonder what the offense might look like under LaFleur, and you alluded to this in the last segment. And he basically got asked, how are things going with the offense? He goes, well, the playbook's done. It's finished. It's done. It's an interesting time because you can't have you can't have football contact with guys before this starts. But certainly you would know what Marcus likes and what he doesn't like. And when all those coaches got here, they talked about building an offense around him. I really cannot wait to see what that install looks like and what this system ultimately looks like.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be, it's going to give him a lot more flexibility and letting him take ownership of it a little bit more. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he was kind of a complimentary piece at times last year. I mean, he was in the background when maybe he should have been doing more to win games. I think they're going to give him more freedom. I think what's going to be, and some of it we won't know, but it'll obviously will happen. I think the communication between Marcus and the coaching staff, I mean, there's going to be things they go through in practices. There's going to be things they go through in meetings. There's going to be things they go through as they watch film, and they want him to say, hey, I like this. I don't like this. LaFleur said he had good communication with Jared Goff last year. I think he's had communication with his quarterbacks along the way. But that's what's got to happen in order for things to be successful. Marcus has got to be comfortable. And part of that is him being honest and upfront on what he likes and what he doesn't like.
TitansOnline.com. That's the website with tons of content as we approach the draft. Jim, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk with you next week.
Okay. Appreciate it.